You're listening to G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I hope you enjoy this episode of G220 Radio.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe. That today is the day of salvation. That you are to flee from the wrath to come. To flee from the law of Moses that condemns you into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him.
Welcome to another episode of G220 Radio. I'm your host, Ricky Gantz, and I want to thank you for tuning into the program tonight. Really looking forward to having the Muniac family on with me tonight to hear all about their new show, Faith and Family Radio, and what the Muniac family's got going on and some of the other things that they're doing, as well as hear a little bit about what's going on with Witness Radio as well. Ryan's been on the show before, and so really excited to have him back on along with his better half, his wife, on the show with us tonight. Before we do that, though, I want to get into sharing with you, the listeners, a couple conferences that are here in the great state of Ohio, and they're free conferences, but you got to register and show up. So here's a couple conferences that I think you should check out. Like I said, they're free to register, but you just got to show up.
Ohio Fire is coming to Columbus, Ohio, April 8th and 9th. Hosted by Striving for Eternity Ministries, Ohio Fire will encourage and train Christians to mature in their faith and share the gospel with the lost. Hear from Phil Johnson from Grace to You and Dr. Thomas White, president of Cedarville University. And after the conference, you'll have a chance to hit the streets of Columbus with trained team leaders. Ohio Fire, April 8th and 9th. For details and to register, go to ohiofire.org.
Hey, this is John Echo here and from Remember Ministries. Wanted to invite you out to our conference on April 23rd, that is a Saturday, starting at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. See, the purpose of this conference is to bring glory to God first and foremost by equipping the attendees with great teaching on how to defend their biblical worldview. See, we will be focusing on the biblical evangelism and street-level apologetics, especially on questions regarding biblical creation. Our goal is to help every attendee gain confidence to be able to share the gospel. Specifically, we will be training on three main subjects: how to use apologetics to get to the gospel quickly, how to answer the most common objections given by unbelievers, and how to confidently hand out gospel tracts and handle one-to-one encounters and possibly open-air preach. Our list of speakers are Pastor Andrew Rappaport from Striving for Eternity Ministries, Anthony Silvestro from Creation Revival, Ricky Gantz from G220 Ministries, also the host of G220 Radio. There will be a free lunch for those who are registered by April 15th, so please go to rememberministries.org to register. That's rememberministries.org. Now, on that Saturday evening, starting around 6 o'clock in the evening, the speakers will be leading teams down at Public Square in Cleveland to allow attendees to use the knowledge that they gained that day at the conference on the street in the street evangelism. Attendance is optional, of course, but it is highly encouraged. We really want you to take what you learn and put it into action the same day. In addition, the day before, Anthony Silvestro, Ricky Gantz, and me, myself, and Austin Hetzler will all hold free evangelism training on Friday afternoon before the conference. For all who are interested, we will be at Cleveland State University from about 12 o'clock to 4 p.m., so from lunch to 4 in the afternoon. So if you are interested, please email me at rememberministries@gmail.com, and don't forget to go to rememberministries.org and register for the conference today.
If you want to grow in your understanding of God's Word and learn to study the Bible for yourself, join Pastor Andrew Rappaport as he teaches each week from the Word of God. The teaching is free through the Internet, but paid students receive a syllabus for each course with extra study materials. The cost is only $50 per year, with special pricing for church groups. And you get to choose from the School of Biblical Hermeneutics or the School of Systematic Theology. Sign up today for Striving for Eternity Academy. Details at strivingforeternity.org.
Imagine Jesus walking onto your local college campus. What would he say? Would he be like Matthew chapter 9, seeing the people harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd, and say, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few"? At Christian Collegiate Network, we are sending workers into the harvest. We are training students how to proclaim the glorious gospel, not only in the way that they live their lives, but how to speak to the campus community about the gospel. If you want to support our ministry at Christian Collegiate Network by becoming a campus leader or financially, go to changeyourcampus.com. Christian Collegiate Network, changeyourcampus.com.
Cannibalism is okay as long as you're not actually hurting somebody.
Wouldn't eating someone hurt them?
I'm trying to do the best I can.
There's only one way to have your sins forgiven.
As born-again Christians, part of our duty is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether you're a seasoned veteran or have never witnessed before, Witness Radio has something for you. Tune in next time to strengthen your faith and learn how to defend it. Go to witnesstalkradio.org. That's witnesstalkradio.org.
And welcome back to G220 Radio. Again, if you're just tuning in, I'm Ricky Gantz, the host of the show, and I've got the Muniac family on with me tonight. We're going to be talking about their new radio show, Faith and Family Radio. So I'm going to go ahead and bring them on to the show now. Muniac family, I've got Ryan and Elaine Muniac on the line. Welcome to G220 Radio.
Thank you for having us, Ricky.
Hey, Ricky, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Glad to have you guys on. Looking forward to hearing all about what you guys got going on, the exciting new show that you guys have brought out, Faith and Family Radio, and then find out some other stuff about what's going on with you guys as well with Witness Radio and some other things that you guys are doing as a family doing ministry together, and the support of, you know, a family support behind that doing ministry. So before we get into that, why don't we go ahead and we'll start with you, Ryan. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you came to Christ. I know you've been on the show before, but maybe for the listeners who are hearing you for the first time, let them know a little bit about yourself, a little bit about, you know, how you came to Christ, and then your wife as well, Elaine. We'll go to you to do the same thing.
Okay, sounds good. So I am a wretched sinner saved by the grace of God, and had it not been for the grace of God, I'd probably be in jail or dead. That's kind of sums up my pre-conversion experience there. Was not a nice guy by any means.
Although you thought you were pretty nice back then. You would have considered yourself a nice guy.
Yeah, but I had ulterior motives with that niceness, and that was not a good nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like an atheist doing something nice for somebody. They don't do it just to be nice. They do it. There is an ulterior motive usually behind that niceness. But, so I was saved in 2008, after being falsely converted a couple of times, went to a church, horrible service, horrible preaching, if you can even call it that. The people in there were complete hypocrites, not your typical, "Oh, there's always a couple of hypocrites in the church." No, everybody was a false convert, was a hypocrite in there. And, you know, I was I admit, I was judging them. And as I was walking out that door, God opened my eyes to the truth and said, you are the worst hypocrite in there, and you are heading for hell. Not that he spoke audibly to me, but he impressed upon me greatly that I was not saved, that I did not know the Lord, and that I was heading for the lake of fire. And it was at that moment that I turned from my sinfulness, my sinful nature, and I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, putting my faith in him, my trust in him, and following him ever since. That's my testimony in short. Ever since then, I have had a heart for the lost. My wife will attest to that because she has despised it for a while. She's not been on the evangelism bandwagon as long as I have. We'll put it that way. But it's been a crazy ride ever since the Lord saved me, and I am looking forward to seeing what he's going to do with me and my family in the future.
Well, amen, brother. It's always good to hear what the Lord is doing in a person's life, and I'd like to explore that a little bit later or after we get past or get through your testimony, Elaine. Just explore that a little bit as well with sorry, there was some background noise threw me off. Getting into, you know, exploring that, you know, the life of being someone who's out evangelizing and then that family's role, some things I'd like to explore a little bit. But, Elaine, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself for the listeners as well, how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and a little bit about your life as well.
Okay. Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home by any means. My only experience in church would be going with friends until I was in high school, where I was falsely converted, like my husband, kept living in the world but claiming Christ as my ticket to heaven. And then shortly after Ryan and I were married, we had a pretty serious miscarriage where I ended up having emergency surgery. And that really got me thinking about my own mortality, but not enough to convert me. So I developed severe anxiety to where I wasn't even leaving the house at one point.
It's called agoraphobia, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. I would stay at home because I didn't want to have a panic attack out in public. So through this and everything, I realized that if I died, I was going to go to like the Lord used the miscarriage and the anxiety to really cause me to see my true spiritual condition. I couldn't convince myself any longer that I was, you know, on my way to heaven. And so I cried out to God and just asked him to forgive me and to save me. And I think it was the very next day after I prayed that way, I started sharing Christ with my relatives, with Ryan's relatives. And
that's a big set of worms right there.
Yeah, it didn't go too well, but I did it, and I was very zealous. And the Lord has just been working on me ever since. And yeah, I didn't have, I had a burden for the lost as far as my family was concerned, but getting into conversations with strangers is definitely out of my comfort zone, and the Lord knew that. That's why I think he gave me my husband and gave him that burden, because it really has strengthened my walk in that area. So that's kind of my story.
Well, again, praise the Lord for that as well. Again, it's always a good thing to sit back and listen to the testimonies of our brothers and sisters and how they come to know the Lord and what he's been doing in their lives and how he's used them and how he's used events in their lives as well to bring them to that point where they need to be. And Ryan, I think, going back to your testimony there where you talked about going into a church and judging people, and thinking, oh, these hypocrites that are in here, I think we all need to be careful that we examine ourselves first. And I think you know, the Lord was convicting you at that time and saying, hey, look, you need to repent and believe. And I think that's a good thing that all the listeners should think about and examine, because a lot of times we can be going through our life, Elaine, you as well, thinking, you know, hey, I'm good. I go to church, you know, here and there, but I'm pretty much, I think I'm okay with God. But many of us and many of the people that we know and are associate with have some of the similar testimonies of being false converts, being someone who thinks they're right with God and is trusting on either growing up in a church or trusting on their good deeds or whatever it may be, but really they're no closer to the Lord than just the person that's out there living a pagan lifestyle that, you know, doesn't even acknowledge God. And so it's definitely something I think the listeners need to take to consideration, to challenge themselves, to see if they are in the faith, to examine themselves. And I know that's something you guys, I'm sure, deal with a lot with evangelizing as well, many of the people that you probably come across.
Yes, absolutely. You know, one part that I left out of my salvation testimony was that, you know, I was trusting in the fact that I said a prayer when I was 16. You know, I raised my hand, I walked the aisle, said the prayer, blah, blah, blah. None of it saves me.
Right.
That's what I love about Paul Washer's shocking youth message, is the prayer does not save you. And I thought he was a heretic the first time I heard that.
Yeah.
I was just saved, and I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
For me, it was an issue of that I believed the Bible, but I did not repent of my sin. I still tried to, and I see that pretty often, is that people try and tag themselves to Christ, but they don't want to change their lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, with my actual conversion, there was no walking an aisle. There was no raising a hand. There was no prayer. It was just an immediate change, a shift. God regenerated my heart and opened my eyes to the truth.
Yeah.
He turned me to himself, and he has kept me following him ever since. Not that I don't slip or slide or anything. I'm not saying that I'm sinless in any way. We won't be sinless until glory, until we get to heaven. But God did all the work. So don't trust in some prayer that someone made you repeat after them.
And it was evidenced
right.
by your, you didn't just make another claim for Christ and there was no change. This was a 180. This was no longer the same guy I had married. It was a totally different, for the better, totally different person.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I think that's definitely one of the things that, I know with doing evangelism, one of the things that many people we come across have the same, what you just said there, Ryan, they're trusting in saying a sinner's prayer or being baptized at a certain age or signing a card in a youth program or something like that. But Elaine, you hit it right there on the head. When true conversion happens, there is a life change. There's new desires. You have the old man has passed away and you're now a new creation. You have these new desires. Now you want to serve God. You want to obey him. I know before I was a Christian, thinking I was, you know, false convert myself, I didn't have any joy or any desire to read the Word of God. And then when I was truly saved, that's all I wanted to do, was hear the Word of God or read the Word of God or listen to good sermons. Or I just wanted more and more to learn and to know Jesus Christ deeper. And so there's definitely a change that happens in a person's life, and it's evident. You see it. Not perfection, but a sanctification process that is molding us to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ as we grow. And so, Yeah, it's definitely something. And we definitely want to emphasize that for the listeners. Maybe you're listening for the first time to the show. Maybe you just come across it and you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian and it's based on one of those things. So we want to challenge you. And I know Ryan definitely would want to challenge you as well. And many of the conversations that he gets into with people, he knows this firsthand as well. It's because we want people to examine themselves to be sure that they're right with the Lord. And so please do that. I want to talk a little bit about Witness Radio, Ryan. What are some of the things you got going on there? Because, you know, this is a show that you've been doing now for some time. And why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners, we played a commercial for it a little bit earlier, but tell them a little bit about Witness Radio and anything you got planned or some of the things you do on the show to help others evangelize.
Okay, well, to start off, Witness Radio happened roughly a little over 2 years ago now. January of 2014 is when I started. The reason I started the show was because I am still currently deathly afraid to talk to people. I am an introvert's introvert. I hate to talk, which is amazing because I now have two radio shows instead of none. But, yeah, I'm not much on talking. I'm much more of a listener. And to strike up conversations, even if they're not gospel conversations, with a perfect stranger terrifies me. So I wanted to get better at my one-to-one conversations and getting into conversations. And that's when I came up with the idea for Witness Radio. Now, I'm sure some people have heard the show and they're like, this is just like Way of the Master Radio back in the day, or this is just like Wretched Radio with Todd Friel on Witness Wednesday. Yeah, basically it is. But you know what? It's got a different twist because I'm not as tall as Todd Friel or as good of a radio host. But I didn't really do it to become big and famous or anything, and I'm not. So it's all working out good so far. But the purpose for doing the show was so that I could be better at sharing the gospel. And I'm amazed that it's been going for 2 years. So now that it's been going for so long, I've had to kind of reformat a few things and change some things. Now I just, you know, I basically try to help others to learn how to share their faith biblically and effectively the same way Jesus did, you know, just like Living Waters, their TV show, Way of the Master. But you know, I do it every week instead of once every few years they put out a season, which, by the way, season 5 is in the works, for anyone who doesn't know. Season 5 is coming, finally.
Well, you know, honey, I think that because your heart was in the right place starting this radio show, wanting to share the gospel, wanting to get out of your comfort, God is really that, and it's been a blessing to others, and you've had some amazing opportunities to get into some really good conversations and also to interview some really some people we really admire in the faith.
Yes, God has done some amazing things with this radio show. I'm totally amazed by what he has done, and I give him all the glory because the show should never have even started or gone past the first episode. If you listen to the first episode, you'll hear why. The audio was horrible. But let's see, we've had, as far as special guests, we've had Ray Comfort on the show. We've had Paul Washer on the show. We've had Eric Hoven from Creation Today. Paul Taylor from Mount St. Helens Creation Center. We've had all different kinds of people on the show. Oh, Ben Price. Yeah, Ben Price. He's a good buddy. He starred in Audacity, and you know, it does not cease to amaze me how God brings people to the show to be interviewed. I'm truly amazed by it. As far as some of the street interviews that I've gotten into, I've witnessed to, as you heard in the commercial, a cannibal. I've witnessed to a professing Christian Satanist who was also a homosexual. I witnessed to pretty much every religion under the sun, Muslim, Buddhist, Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, atheist. I get those all the time because I am on the college campus, so everybody thinks they're smarter than they really are. So the whole point of the show is to save souls, as the slogan goes. And one way I can have souls saved is to teach you how to save souls. So that's really been my focus with the show ever since I realized, hey, this is going to keep going. So
yeah,
that is
one of the good things I would say about Witness Radio, because I really actually never listened to Wretched Radio or Way of the Master Radio. I didn't even know about those things or those shows. So when I listen to Witness Radio, one of the things I know that it does help people that listen is because you don't know the kind of conversations that you may get into out there, but on your show, you get some of that. So it can prepare the person that's going to go out and evangelize to say, oh, you know, I've heard this before. This isn't something new. These are the kind of questions or the kind of statements that people will bring up when you're out there sharing the gospel with them. And in your commercial, that still gets me every time when he talks about cannibalism and you say, well, wouldn't that hurt somebody? Just the way people think, you know what I mean? It just breaks down if their foundation is not God. And it shows. And it shows in those conversations as well. And I think it's helpful for people. If you haven't listened to Witness Radio, I want to encourage you to go do so, because you can really learn from these conversations. You can hear what people would ask. You can hear Ryan's responses. And it can help you in getting out there, stepping out on your own, and sharing the gospel. So definitely check that out. Elaine, I want to talk to you, too, about being the wife of an evangelist, what it's like being married to someone who goes out. You said, and both of you have mentioned the fact that, you know, when Ryan first started getting out there, that zeal, it was a little hard at first. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? Let's flush that out a little bit. And I know you guys did a talk that was on your show, Witness Radio, a little while back when you had Women of the Faith. I believe that was the title of it, and you gave a talk similar to explaining some of this, but if you want to go ahead and flush some of that out for the listeners who are listening, what it's like being the wife of an evangelist as he was getting started, and then how you've grown in this together and individually.
Okay. Well, as my husband said, when he got saved, he immediately had a burden for the lost, but he also had a huge fear of man, so there was no conflict at that time because, you know, he was struggling with it himself. And then he ended up in 2010 going to an evangelism boot camp, and he came back on fire and about scared all of our congregation, and so including myself. I was like, whoa, what happened? And, yeah, it was an adjustment. It was scary. This was really one of the most, the biggest moments where it was just totally out of my comfort zone. And, yeah, and he was excited, and he was trying to encourage me in it. And I'm like, please don't push me. You know, there was the conflict there. And then, but it was also, you know, as a wife, I want to be with my husband. And as a Christian wife, I want to minister with my husband. So there was a little bit of a struggle going on there, and I talk about that a little bit in my session that you were talking about. And we were looking for another church shortly after, and my husband was looking in the same denomination we were, but we had been going to that church that he went to the boot camp at, and I, as much as it was out of my comfort zone, I knew if we did not start attending that church, it was because of that. And I did not want to be guilty of resisting that, if that was what the Lord was calling us to do and to grow in. so we did end up going to that church, and the Lord used that. The Lord used my husband and others in our lives to grow me, and it's still a struggle. It's still challenging at times when Ryan's nudging me in the checkout, like, are you going to give that clerk a track? I'm like, back off. I try and say as long as possible. But it's been a growth process. The Lord's working on me. I've myself done prayer stands, handed out tracts, open-aired a little. It's just been a great journey. And, you know, the more I learn about what it means to be a helpmate, the more I see that God has called me to evangelism ministry, because whatever our husbands are called to, we're called to it too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me talk to you guys about because you're actually from, I don't know if originally from, but you were up here in the area where we are, up near Cleveland area, and you guys have moved down to Cincinnati, and that's been a couple years, I believe, as well. Correct me if I'm wrong. That you've been living down there. So what kind of got you to that move to go down to Cincinnati area, and how was that adjustment, going from up here? I know you hit the spot where we hit the public square, and then going down into a new area. How was that adjustment for you and the family as well?
That was all a work of God, because we had no intention of leaving Cleveland. Let me give you the story. Okay. So I was working at a job, making a decent amount of money. Long story short, with that job, someone ousted me of my position, and I was no longer making to provide for the family. Well, I applied for a job with Ventures in Genesis, doing the same type of work that I had been doing up in Cleveland, thinking no way that I would ever be qualified enough to work for such a ministry as Ventures in Genesis. Some way, God allowed me to get the job. And I went through the interview process. Actually had to come down to Cincinnati for one of the interviews.
2 weeks before Lydia was due, our second oldest.
Yeah, 2 weeks. So we all piled into my little four-door car to come down here for a couple of days, mm-hmm. with the money that we could scrape together to get down here.
Mm-hmm.
And we got back up. They called us, said, okay, when can you start? I gave them a 3-week notice, and in 3 weeks, find a house or somewhere for us to live down here, mm-hmm. without seeing it. I had to sell pretty much everything we owned in order to afford another trip down to Cincinnati.
And have a baby.
And have a baby. And have money for first month's rent and down payment, mm-hmm. or deposit. So, I mean, everything was working against us.
Mm-hmm.
But within that 3-week period, everything worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just enough, mm-hmm. to get us down here and get us into where we lived for 2 years when we first got down here, which was sight unseen. We were expecting, a hole,
mm-hmm.
a beat up, run down place. And it was gorgeous. We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
The only reason we moved out of there was because our family went from 2 to 3, and now it's up to 4 children. So that's the only reason we left there, was because we grew out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But God was in it all. He made the way for us to come down here. And, looking back on it, we realized that He had us come down here for a reason. He called us to the Cincinnati area, we feel, as missionaries to America.
Yeah. Well, I want to apologize. Speaking of children, I want to apologize. One of mine knocked on the door, and it got my dog going, so that's what that bark was that you heard. But hopefully he is calmed down now. Whenever there's those loud noises, you know how dogs respond. Yeah, so going into to this new radio show now, this Faith and Family Radio, how did this come about? What was the planning or the prep that went into deciding, hey, let's do a family radio show together? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that got started, how you guys talked about that, and how you threw it out there and tossed around the idea of doing that and then getting started in it?
Well, I think it really began with just Ryan and I being so frustrated that a lot of the Christian stations were so watered down. There was no gospel. There was no substance. It was very disappointing. You know, when you're switching from Christian to secular station just because you can't handle it, there's a problem. And so we were, you know, just so disappointed with that and frustrated. And, you know, Ryan was just throwing around the idea a couple of times. He said, you know, we really should just do our own thing then. We should make it, you know, a show that's biblically solid, that, you know, is kind of like a morning show. So after a few times of throwing that around and really considering it, we decided, hey, let's go for it and give it a shot. And if it works, it works. And if not, you know, hey, we did it for God's glory. And that's, you know, that's all we can do is really seek to do his will and to honor him. And it's amazing, too, the whole process with this. We've been blessed that a wonderful woman named Carrie Atala did our opening song. We had a friend of ours doing the logo. So it's not been just us working.
Yes, a lot of people have come behind us to get this show on the air, and mm-hmm. we're so thankful for all of them.
Yes, and me is, even before the show started, we had started having our daughters do little snippets on Witness Radio. And so that kind of, we enjoyed that so much, we tacked that on with Faith and Family. I was like, well, if it's going to be a family-themed radio show, then have the girls on. And we've even actually got an episode where we're interviewing one of our daughters on prayer. And it's just so cute. And I loved hearing her answers when I was interviewing her. And this show, though, is going to be different than Witness Radio. It's not going to be strictly evangelism. It's going to be just a broad range of topics that all Christians talk about or think about. And already we've done abortion, we've done prayer, homeschooling. We're working on money management. What's the other one we got going? I can't remember
that. Counting the cost.
Counting the cost, yes, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. So it's really going to be something that I think everyone will get something out of it. Hopefully it'll be an encouragement to others in their walk, and that God would be glorified. That's the big thing. So.
Amen. And
yeah,
speaking of
absolutely.
Daughter.
Go ahead.
You're listening to the Faith and Family Radio Show with my mommy and daddy, Emily and Ryan Uriak.
That's precious. That's one of the things that I know you did that on Witness Radio. I always loved the little commercials where you incorporated your children in. And one of the things, like you said, interviewing them when you was doing the show on prayer. Just to, you know, it's a family thing. It's a family ministry, and you're both behind each other, and you're both ministering together, and you're putting that out there to help encourage people. Because you're right, you know, there are very few Christian radio shows or radio stations, and the ones that we do have are usually called family-friendly radio, and they're not very biblically sound, if we want to be
they're
nice.
They're so watered down.
And a lot of times they're not even family-friendly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And even the ones that you think that, well, at least on this one, it might not be the greatest theologically, but at least it should be somewhat solid and I shouldn't have to worry. And even that's becoming watered down in a lot of the ministries that are on there and a lot of the things that they're promoting, the music that they're promoting and things like that. And it's a sad thing to see. So it's definitely there's a need for shows that are going to be biblically sound and deal with issues and not shy away from things just because to be politically correct, but to address things and to do it in a way that shows, hey, we're growing through this as well. Because like I listened to the show with prayer where you guys explained and talked about areas where you struggle in prayer and things like that, and being open and being upfront with the listener so that people realize this Christian walk, it's not that you become a Christian and everything works out great. No, there are things that we struggle with and there are areas where we need to grow, and the Lord is continuing to work on us and mold us and create us into that image to be more and more conformed to Christ. And I think that's one thing that lacks in the church as a whole, well, the evangelical church in America, where people aren't as open to say where, hey, you know, these are areas in our lives. We may struggle in these things, but we're working through these things to grow. People too often want to put on a facade as if everything's great, everything's working out, but it's just not the reality in the Christian's life. We will struggle. We will have areas where we need to grow. We will have areas where the Lord's still working on us and bringing to our attention places where we need to repent. And so it's good to be that upfront about it.
Well, we do try and touch on our personal lives and really show that we're still battling things on a daily basis. We're not perfect, and we don't really want to think we're perfect, because anything good that we do comes from God. We want Him to get all the glory, not ourselves.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what are some of the new things you guys got going on as a family? What are some of the things you guys do down there? Well, actually, before we get into that, why don't you tell the listeners where they can find Faith and Family Radio, how often you guys are on, and again, where they can find it and listen to the show.
Okay. Well, Faith Family Radio, or Faith and Family Radio, is on iTunes. We just launched on iTunes, so you can subscribe there. But just in general, to find the show, go to faithfamilyradio.com. That's faithfamilyradio.com. And you can find all the different episodes there. You can see a couple of pictures of the studio that our church has gifted us that we are not in right now. We are trying to slowly work up the savings in order to turn that into a full-blown studio. Right now, we are actually broadcasting from the dungeon. If you hear an echo at all, it's because we're in the dungeon of the Maniac Castle, aka the basement. But, we're trying to glorify God with whatever we do, trying to edify the saints, trying to reach the law.
I'm trying to do it as a family.
Yeah. So what are now then some of the things that you guys got planned, some of the outreaches and some of the things you got? I'm pretty sure if I saw this right on Facebook, I believe you have a St. Patrick's Day parade outreach or something this week as well. We're doing one up here in Cleveland. So what are some of the things you guys got planned and ways that people can get out there? And I know you're a part of CCN as well, and maybe a Bible study at the college. What are some of the things you got going on that you'd want to share with the listeners that they could pray for you guys about, as well as if they're in the area and would like to come out and join you?
Okay. Well, the St. Patrick's Parade outreach was actually last Saturday, and it went very well. Praise the Lord. We had roughly 20 people come out to help us, and we gave out 3,500 tracks, give or take. The Lord allowed it to be sunny during our outreach. It was cloudy before, cloudy right after, but during it was nice and sunny, wasn't too cold, and He really blessed the outreach. I know I was blessed by by all of the laborers that came out to help. We, as far as other stuff we have going on, our church, Hyde Park Baptist Church here in Cincinnati, they do regular outreaches all over the place. Different members of the church do different things. I know this coming up Saturday, we've got an outreach in Hyde Park, basically going door to door, inviting people to church and giving them gospel tracts as well for our Easter service.
We also do a flea market outreach once a month with our church. And that's been really great. That's usually really people are very slow paced, so a lot of good conversations happen there.
And those are really great. If you have a family with kids, mm-hmm. those are a great outreach because you can corral the kids into your booth there and give them stuff to do, and mm-hmm. they kind of take care of themselves, and you have a chance to actually, you know, go and have conversations with people about the gospel instead of having to focus 100% of your energy on the children.
And then Friday is kind of when you hit the campus, Friday afternoon, late afternoon, early evening.
Yes, about 4:30 p.m. on Friday afternoons, I am at the University of Cincinnati, typically getting interviews for Witness Radio, but I'll also do open air preaching or prayer stand, handout tracts, whatever suits my fancy at the time. But anyone and everyone that is a solid biblical Christian that wants to evangelize biblically, that they are more than welcome to join me on the campus. And then at 6 p.m. on Fridays, we have a Bible study every week. And this semester, we're focusing on the supposed contradictions in the Bible. We're about to go into week 10, and we have yet to find one. We're looking hard.
Yeah, an atheist definitely will tell you that the Bible does contradict itself. So that's definitely something to study on a college campus because the Word of God does not contradict itself. There may be some areas that look as if they're an apparent contradiction, but when you dig into the context and you dig into the understanding, you realize that it's not a contradiction. The Word of God will not contradict itself. And so, yeah, good study, good stuff.
Yeah, I actually took the mindset of an atheist and went to Google. I said, all right, where are all these atheists finding the supposed contradiction? So I put myself in the mindset of an atheist. How do I disprove Christianity? Where do I find the contradiction list? I typed it into Google, found a list, and that is basically our guide for the semester is this list of 101 supposed contradictions in the Bible. And we've just been going through this list, and none of them are actual contradictions. In fact, most of them is just because the person didn't look past, you know, one verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had they gone
right.
another out, they would have seen, oh, wait, that explains everything and clears up the contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They don't, and that's the key that we keep enforcing in the study is, even if we give them all the answers to these questions or to these supposed contradictions, they don't care. They don't want the truth. They're suppressing it with their unrighteousness. That's why we need to focus on the gospel, not on answering these questions.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I want to thank you guys, because we're coming down close to the end of the show here. I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to give you guys the last any last thoughts you guys might want to share with the listeners and share the gospel if you'd like as well. Whatever you final thoughts you guys might have.
My final thoughts is, Elaine, what do you have? Throw you right on.
I see how. I just want to encourage people to check out the show and tell us what you think. If you have any advice, you want to offer some criticism, some encouragement, we're all for it. If there's any way we're biblically inaccurate, let us know. Show us the scriptures, because that you know, don't just give us your opinion. You gotta bring a Bible verse with you. But yeah, we're eager to grow and to help others in their walk. So
yeah, and that's something that we forgot to mention is, on occasion we will actually do a live show on a website called Blab blab.im, blab.im. And it is a great media source where you can do a live show and actually have other people come on, like guests, much like you do, Ricky, with your show, except it's on a video format. And we really in that, we'll just put Bible questions answered or something, and we'll have all kinds of people coming in and wanting to ask questions and stuff and debate and everything. And it's a great great way to share the gospel with people.
We've only had like one or two trolls come in, tried to like stir the pot a little, but I mean, they went right out. They don't want to engage at all. But otherwise, it's been full of rich conversations, yes, and the gospel has been proclaimed, so that's wonderful.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's amazing with the media outlets that are out there. There's so many opportunities to get the word of God out there. And people come across it, they'll see it, especially atheists. If you're talking about something to do with God, they find their way to listen. Or if you're talking about working with Answers in Genesis, if you're talking about something with evolution, they find their way there somehow. You know, I mean, they find their way. But even if they don't come in and troll, many of them watch and they hear these things. It's such a wonderful outlet that we have with media to do that, whether it's radio, videos. There's so many different outlets that are out there, and we as Christians can take advantage of them, all of them, you know, and share the gospel through these mediums that's been given to us by the grace of God. So praise the Lord for that. I want to thank you guys both again for coming on to the show tonight. Really appreciated you guys taking the time to come on and share with us what's going on with Faith and Family Radio and with Witness Radio and with the Muniac family. It's good to hear from you guys, and look forward to possibly seeing you guys at the Ohio Fire.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Okay.
Ohio Fire, and we will be at the In the Beginning God Conference. We will be at both.
All right.
Yeah.
So, again, those two conferences, I played those in the beginning. They're both in Ohio. They're both free conferences. You just need to register and show up. And I'm sure Striving for Eternity and Remember Ministries would be happy to have you at both of their conferences. So, Muniac family, thank you guys again for coming on to the show tonight. I really do appreciate you taking the time. Really a blessing to hear from you guys and see what the Lord's doing with you. And wish, again, Ryan, I know I've said this to you before, it would have been nice to know you guys before, you know, you guys moved down to Cincinnati. We probably could have been out there a few times together up here in this area. And if I ever happen to drive through that area down there, would love to hook up with you guys and hit the streets as well. So thank you guys for what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Ricky, congratulations on your new marriage and your lovely wife.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, guys. Thanks again for calling in or coming on the show tonight. Appreciated it. Hope you guys have a good evening.
You too. Thanks, Ricky.
All right. God bless. And that was the Muniac family. Again, you can check them out on Faith and Family Radio and also on Witness Radio. You can hear Ryan. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back to wrap up the show.
The good news is Striving for Eternity would love to come to your church to spend 2 days with your folks teaching them biblical hermeneutics. That's right, the art and science of interpreting Scripture. The bad news is somebody attending might be really upset to discover Jeremiah 29:11 should not be their life verse. To learn more, go to strivingforeternity.org to host a Bible interpretation made easy seminar in your area.
What do Jewish people believe? Or Muslims? A Mormon? Or a Jehovah's Witness? If you've ever wondered, then the book What Do They Believe is for you. From the differing views on God and Jesus to sin, salvation, and eternity, What Do They Believe will help you get an accurate understanding of what other religions believe. What Do They Believe by Andrew Rappaport, available now on Kindle and at strivingforeternity.org.
Our mission here living and way of life. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ is God in the flesh.
Who came to save sinners?
Died on a cross, nailed my sin thereto, was placed in the grave.
3 days later, he defeats sin and death.
And that man, that God, that man, Christ Jesus, rose again from the dead.
A skeleton would come from that sin and then trust in him.
Amen, somebody.
Our desire, God will use wrath and grace as a tool to save the lost. Our hope, bring glory to God, man. All praise to him.
Unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And what better way than to use our clothing as the way to witness? Now you can preach the gospel anywhere it's due.
It's all wrath and grace since we know it's Christian. And this business is consistent with the Holy Scripture.
Stop by wrathandgrace.com and join the movement. Wrathandgrace.com.
And welcome back to G220 Radio. We are wrapping up the show. I hope you enjoyed the program tonight with the Muniac family on. And want to encourage you to look forward to what we have coming up in the next couple weeks here on G220 Radio. This past week, we usually do on Sunday mornings, we do a Christ the Rock church sermon. We had some issues with getting the audio sent over through the email to me so that I could get it uploaded, and so we wasn't able to do that. But if we are able to get that audio and get it formatted, we'll get that up so that you can hear that sermon and future sermons as well. And those are Sunday mornings. We do the Christ the Rock sermons, and then also, you know, you have Tuesday nights for our normal show, and it's normally at 8 p.m. We started a later show tonight to accommodate the Muniac family. And then also, every once in a while, we do some shows periodically, if that's even the right word, periodically, however you want to say it. And George Alvarado is another host of G220 Radio, and he does a show every once in a while, and he'll be doing one on the 25th with Pastor Mike Gonzalez, and they're going to be talking about pastoring and politics and some other things there, so you're going to want to tune in to hear that, as well as George does here on the program, using G220 Radio as a platform to have a show called Tongue Waggers, where they talk about linguistics. And we also have some things lined up to do some stuff with Creation Revival, hopefully here in the future, and looking forward to that as well. So be on the lookout for what's going on G220 Radio. You can find us on iTunes. Go and subscribe. Make sure you rate us and review us. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can send it to g220radio@gmail.com. We've got an email set up now, so you can go ahead. And it's been a long time since we've been on the air, but we finally just set one up because normally just most of the emails would come directly to me. But now we have one set up just specifically for the show. And you can send us emails there at g220radio@gmail.com, and either myself or George will get those emails. So until our next episode of G220 Radio, I want to encourage you to get in the Word of God, study it out, and read it, and hope and pray that the Lord grows you by His grace. And we are all on this journey, and we are in a sanctification process, as we talked about. We want you to examine yourself, make sure you're in the faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can have eternal life, but true life change brings true life change. So I hope the show has been edifying and encouraging to you. And again, make sure you do check out our friends over there at Witness Radio and Faith and Family Radio, the Muniac family. Until next time, God bless, and good night.
Maybe one of the reasons so many people in the church aren't making disciples of all nations is because they're not really disciples in the first place. You think about Jesus and his disciples from the very beginning to the very end. Making disciples is in the DNA of this thing, right? To be a disciple involves making disciples. Follow me, Matthew 4, and I will, what? I'll make you fishers of men.
Never make a gospel appeal to people's emotions. Never. Never. That's why we don't have some kind of an emotional appeal here and play all kinds of smalty music in the background.
And it amazes me that we believe this, that God would crush and kill his own son, but let you slide. Not for a minute.
At this moment, God commands all men to repent and believe that today is the day of salvation, that you are to flee from the wrath to come, to flee from the law of Moses that condemns you, into the city of refuge, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Run to him